Hello again, and this is Andrew Corbett, and we are talking about the Bible study series, Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 19, Do Not Be Haughty. Well, this is based out of Romans chapter 12, verse 16, the second part of verse 16, which says, do not be haughty. Now, haughty is one of those older English words that may not be familiar to people, so we are going to straight off the bat define it in a moment. But again, I remind you that the purpose of the Bible study is not simply to impart information. People aren't turning up for a lecture. They're not even necessarily turning up for an in-depth Bible study. But we do trust that God's word will be honored, exegeted. In other words, we'll get out of it what was put into it rather than attempting to put something into it that was never there in the first place. And in light of this, I would encourage the hosts of the meeting to offer drinks, tea, coffee, cold drinks, whatever is appropriate, and some refreshments as well to start the meeting. Now, the whole point there is that when people are eating and drinking, it actually changes the way they relate to each other. The other vital aspect of offering food and drink is it actually is reinforcing the very nature of what we're looking at, and that is building a covenant community of believers. So it helps those who are in your group to get to know each other a bit better, to be able to chat in an informal way. And it's that informal, low-key conversation that actually builds bonds of relationship. So that part of the meeting, although it may look like it's the preliminaries, it may look like it's not actually a vital part of the meeting, is actually critical because it's actually doing what we're trying to achieve here, building that relationship of community relationship within the group. When you have had some time doing that, I suggest taking control of the meeting, take control of the group, and in that sense, bringing people into perhaps a different room. It might be moving from the dining area into the lounge room or something like that, where there's a definite change of tone so that people know, okay, now we're not, you know, here to gorge ourselves or anything like that. We're here now to look at God's word, pray for the needs that are present, and to give our minds and hearts over to God and to how God might use us to bless those who are in the group. So when it comes to this study, as we'll see in a moment, where this is sort of rubber hits the road stuff. This is going to challenge everybody who is present. I would also encourage, as we do with the other studies, to go around the room and ask for one prayer point after you've asked for one thank point or a praise point. So people are giving thanks for something, thanking God for something, and also asking that the group might pray for a particular need. And that is a really, I think, a clever way of having the group share what's going on in their world, both in a positive sense and in a challenge sense. So again, I encourage you to do that. All right, do not be haughty. We define it like this. Haughty is a way of thinking. It comes from the Latin word haut, which means high. For a church family to be strong, its members must be careful not to think too highly of themselves. Eugene Peterson renders this, don't be stuck up. People who are haughty are generally not prepared to mix with others in the church. They consider themselves to be above others. They do not receive correction because they are, largely, unteachable. They prefer to isolate themselves rather than enter into meaningful fellowship. This is one reason why small group Bible study meetings are so important in building a healthy, biblical covenant community. Question one. In what way did the Apostle Paul introduce this chapter, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, with a similar command? And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So the command that Paul gives off the bat, is not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. Now, there's a, I guess it follows on from that, which but to think with sober judgment. And what you may find is that, that people in the group will realize this is not a matter of thinking less of yourself. It's not a matter of even putting yourself down. It's actually a matter of thinking of yourself realistically. And this might sound almost counterintuitive, but that can mean if you are gifted by God in a certain arena, if you have been blessed to have certain experience at being able to do something that perhaps not many others can do, thinking in terms of sober judgment is not to belittle that. It's not necessarily to see that, you know, that's not something you should tell anybody or own or anything like that. Rather, it's to be realistic. It's to be honest. It's to be able to say, you know, I've been practicing guitar, for example, for 6 hours a day for the last 12 years of my life. It's something I really love doing, and I feel God's gifted me with music, and there's lots of things I'm not good at, but this is one thing that I've actually worked hard at, and I know I've got a long way to go, but I want to continue to improve. Now, that statement, I don't think that's saying something like that comes across as haughty or proud or arrogant, but it is sober. It's a sober judgment. In other words, we're recognizing, hey, this is where God has actually gifted and blessed me with certain talents and abilities, and I want to be, you know, realistic about that. I'm actually not too bad at that. There are other things I'm not great at. I don't want to overstate how good I am with whatever ability or talent I have. I want to be sober in my judgment, and I don't want to think more highly than I ought. I hope somehow the conversation sort of touches on some of those things. Question two, how is Psalm 131 the antidote for haughtiness? Now, Psalm 131, it's a beautiful psalm. It's only four verses, I think. Let's have a look. Psalm 131, verse 1, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Verse 2, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. It says three verses in that psalm. It's a really beautiful picture that's being painted here. It's the picture of a weaned child coming to its mother. And I guess the point there is that this child's weaned. It doesn't need to. It doesn't need to come to its mother for its sustenance, but it's choosing to. It's a beautiful picture of the child looking up at its mother. In my mind's eye, I see the child in the mother's arms, and the child is perhaps 3 or 4 years of age. And that can be a kind of not that it's a particularly rebellious age, more than teen years or anything like that, but it can be that age when the child is beginning to exercise its own independence. But here we have the picture of the weaned child still coming to its mother. And that's a beautiful picture of what it looks like to willingly want to spend time with people, even though they're not necessarily going to give you anything or do anything for you. You just come to be with them like a weaned child in the arms of its mother. And this picture is a great picture for what the antidote to haughtiness looks like, where we don't think of ourselves as, you know, they're not going to teach me anything. They can't do anything for me. Therefore, I'm not going to spend any time with that person or those people. Willingly spending time with someone just for the sake of getting to know them, and even perhaps for the possibility of enjoying their company, and maybe there's something you can bless them with, encouragement or whatever, is one of the antidotes to haughtiness. Beautiful picture. I hope it leads to a really positive discussion in your group. The key word there is weaned, so that this child doesn't have to come to its mother. Haughtiness is an attitude of arrogance. It is this attitude that is guaranteed to prevent a sense of closeness to God. Note Psalm 138, verse 6, which says, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. So there's something about pride, arrogance, haughtiness that will rob a person of intimacy with God. So if you want to come close to the heart of God, learn to come close to others. Question 3, Paul lists the quality of a haughty person in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. List and discuss at least 6 of these negative qualities. Discuss what the antidotes to these qualities are. Why does Paul tell believers to resort to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 with haughty people? And that's what we'll consider when we come back just after this short break. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and starting verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Verse 3, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. So you notice the things that it mentions there describing a haughty person. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. No matter what you do, it's not enough. No matter what you do, you haven't done enough. It's some people whose focus is completely self-absorbed are going to be just unpleasable or unappeasable. And it says slanderous, they have no self-control, they are brutal toward others, they don't love good, they are treacherous, they'll slander you, they are reckless, they waste money, they waste time, they are swollen with conceit, they are lovers of pleasure rather than doing the things that require discipline and hard work, rather than being lovers of God. And verse 5, it says having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. And this short little phrase, or it's actually a sentence, avoid such people. So the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 5, the way to really deal with haughty people, people who are unteachable, unappeasable, is to avoid them. There's not much you can do with someone in that condition. And there's a process. I don't want anyone to think this is a two-step. There's multiple steps in that journey to come to verse 5 where you've attempted to talk to them, you've attempted to correct them, and they are just not going to listen. Question 4. The haughty person is often frustrated with God. How could understanding James 4:6 help the haughty person to be less frustrated? James 4:6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So how can that encourage people? Well, if we understand that God's provision is always an expression of his grace, we see in this verse that grace is bestowed on those who are humble, not on those who are proud, and proud in the sense of demanding and wanting their own way. You have a better chance of receiving grace from God if your heart is humble. That might be an encouragement to those who are frustrated and impatient with God. Question 5, note 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, which says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. The question says, love is the goal of following Christ. Based on this verse, it seems that the opposite of love is not necessarily hate, but something else. What does 1 Corinthians 13:4 reveal? Well, what is the opposite of love? Well, it appears to be pride and arrogance, something that leads to boasting and envy. In other words, it's where the focus is completely on yourself. That's the opposite of what love is. Love is always others focused. So again, I hope this comes out in the discussion as well. And while you're doing this, just consider that these questions are designed for you to be able to ask supplementary questions, questions related to the question. So if someone says something, you may even question what they say. You know, what do you mean? Could you explain that? Those sorts of questions will help you and your group to go a little bit deeper in the study. Final paragraph, you might ask someone to read this out, just to involve them as well. May God help us to grow as a community of fellow believers who know how to get along with each other, care for each other, pray for each other, and support each other no matter our station in life. And you may even ask someone, hey, you know, Bob, could you just pray that for us right now as a group? And after closing there, you would take your list of the prayer points that were offered at the start of the meeting and remind each one in the group that this is what each one has asked for prayer for, and ask people as you go around the room, could you take one of these prayer points and pray for one of these? As you do that, it's also an exercise in the very objective that we're trying to do here, is build a covenant community, build a community of people who are committed to honouring God and honouring each other and supporting each other. Well, I trust this study is beneficial to you. I trust these coaching audios are also beneficial for you. We'll be back with our next study, study number 20, which is Associate with the Lowly.